Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For today, becoming mostly sunny, mid-50s. Winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear skies, temperatures in the upper 20s. Winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, sunny skies, upper 50s, around 60. Winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lower 30s. And Wednesday and Thursday will continue with sunny skies. Right now, it's 25.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Good Monday. A Kansas prosecutor who had two criminal convictions overturned is facing disciplinary hearings for allegedly violating professional standards. The Kansas Board of Attorney Discipline will hold a hearing this week to review the conduct of Jackie Spradling. Spradling is a former Shawnee County prosecutor who now serves as the Bourbon County attorney and an assistant Allen County attorney. Appeals courts criticized her in rulings overturning a murder conviction and sexual assault conviction. Both of those cases now set to be retried. Spradling is accused of making statements during her closing arguments that weren't supported by evidence at trial. Governor Lori Kelly says Kansas considers meatpacking plant workers and grocery store employees essential workers, putting them just behind healthcare workers and nursing home residents for coronavirus vaccines. The governor said Kansas vaccine plan calls for the first shots to go to frontline healthcare workers who are at high risk. Mid-America Network News.
Our veterans deserve a lot of things. Praise, honor, respect. What they don't deserve are attempts to take advantage of their service. Sadly, scammers often target veterans by going after their pensions or disability benefits with fake requests for personal information, charity scams, fake rebate offers, and more. Be vigilant and remember the Veterans Administration won't request personal information by phone, email, or text. Help protect those who protected our country. Visit AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork to learn more. Paid for by AARP.
Oh yes, we're open. The Great Off Road is wide open, and the keys to family freedom are ready and waiting at your Polaris dealer. Get rolling with the off-road best for as little as $5 a day during the Polaris holiday sales event. See Wichita Tractor in South Hutchinson or go online to wichitatractor.com. Offer valid in U.S. through 12/31/20 on select new Sportsman models. Subject to qualification and financing. See participating dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Missouri Southern State has dismissed football coach Jeff Sims. He was the coach at Garden City Community College when a player died of heat stroke back in 2018. Missouri Southern Athletic Director Jared Bruggerman did not provide a reason for Sims being fired. Sims was in his second season at the school, which did not play this fall because of the pandemic. 2 years ago, Braden Bradforth of Neptune, New Jersey, died of exertional heat stroke after a football workout at Garden City Community College. An investigation blamed Bradford's death on a lack of leadership by college officials, including Sims. A hearing has been set for the 4th of February to determine whether defeated Representative Steve Watkins will face trial on charges of felony election fraud and other crimes. The Republican congressman for eastern Kansas had initially faced his first appearance in district court Thursday in Topeka. Neither Watkins nor his attorney came to the courthouse on Thursday. And Kansas weather on the 7th day of December in the 60s in places. Mid-America Network News.
At United Bank and Trust, we get it. Bank hours don't always fit into your schedule. With the United Bank and Trust mobile banking app, you can bank anytime, anywhere. At home, at work, or anywhere in between, you can perform convenient and secure transactions like mobile check deposit, transfer money between accounts, or see your balance instantly. Find it by searching for United Bank and Trust mobile app in your app store. Mobile banking with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. Good Monday. The number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 has dropped below 800 for the first time in nearly a month, but it's not clear if the positive trend will continue in the wake of Thanksgiving gatherings. The state said the number of virus hospitalizations fell to 755 on Saturday from the previous day's 819. That's the first time since November 8th that the total was below 800, but the state's chief medical officer said hospitalizations still remain high and continue to put stress on the state's hospitals. He said it won't be clear for some time how Thanksgiving gatherings and travel will affect the virus trends. A former Lincoln police officer suing the city, alleging she and other female officers were subjected to sexual harassment and nothing was done in response to their complaints. Sarah Williams says in her lawsuit that Police Chief Blymeister and other police officials have known about the discrimination against female officers for years and have done nothing to improve the environment. Mid-America Network News.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marshall County Commissioners last week discussed the courthouse remaining closed to the public at this time, indicating they will revisit this December 14th, feeling that any spike in numbers from the Thanksgiving holiday will have shown up by then. Engineers reported finding no environmental issues with a proposed building site for a new county jail at a property east of Marysville, therefore allowing purchase of the property to move forward. Unanimous approval was given to fund $4,000 to the Friends of Vermilion Park Improvement Project to be paid out of the Special Parks Fund. Nemaha County Commissioners meeting in special session Wednesday discussed ways to utilize any leftover dollars from Spark funding. It was proposed Nemaha County develop an emergency relief grant program and a PPE and sanitization reimbursement program. The emergency relief grants would compensate employers $1,500 per full-time employee that had to be absent from work due to COVID-19 and $750 for part-time workers. The PPP and sanitization reimbursement program would reimburse employers for expenses clearly related to COVID, such as cleaning supplies, hand sanitizer, and etc. Programs open December 9th through December 20th and will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis until funds are exhausted. Following discussion, a motion to that effect passed unanimously. At their meeting last Monday, Senior Services Public Transit Director Diane Youngins and others came before the board to speak about starting a new program in Nemaha County to provide free medical transportation for residents. Diane will serve as Community Resource Director to assist Nemaha County residents with Medicare, computer issues, and etc. Monday's Washington City Council meeting will be held in person at the council chambers beginning at 6:30. Masks will be required. Going forward, Washington City Councils will be held electronically via Zoom. The council meeting link will be posted on the City of Washington website and the city's Facebook page. A proposal to the Kansas State High School Activities Association Appeals Board Tuesday will reconsider allowing parents to attend winter activities. The recommendation to the Board of Directors is to make such a modification. There will be an informational meeting in Hanover Public School Tuesday to discuss, gauge interest in, and answer questions about starting a 3- and 4-year-old early childhood program at the Hanover School beginning in the 21-22 school year. Meeting at 6 to 7 will be for discussion with questions and answers and any interested area daycare providers. At 7, the meeting will be for interested parents and patrons at the Hanover Schools. Max Gaston, age 93, of Marysville, passed away Saturday. Private graveside service Monday at 2 at the Marysville City Cemetery. Visitation Monday 10 until 1 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Max Gaston. Lawrence Gary Fisher, age 75, formerly of Washington, passed away November 29. Private graveside service is planned Wednesday 10 a.m. at the Washington City Cemetery, with a Ward Funeral Home in Washington in charge of arrangements for Gary Fisher. Gerald J. Penner, age 85, of Odell, passed away Friday. Funeral service Wednesday, 10:30, at Our Savior Lutheran Church, Odell. Burial in the Odell Cemetery. Visitation Tuesday, 8 until 8. Family will greet friends Tuesday from 5 until 7. At the Gertis Meyer Funeral Home of Odell, in charge of arrangements for Gerald Penner. Harlan E. Turk, age 77, of Clay Center, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Wednesday, 11 a.m. at the Waterville United Methodist Church. Committal service and burial Wednesday, 2 p.m. at the Greenwood Cemetery at Clay Center. Visitation Tuesday, noon until 8. Family will greet friends Tuesday from 6 until 8 at the Terry Christie Funeral Home in Waterville, in charge of arrangements for Harlan Turk. Elaine F. Pfeiffer, age 71, of Marysville, passed away November 22nd. Funeral service Wednesday, 11:30, at St. Gregory's Catholic Church, Marysville. Burial in the church cemetery. Rosary Tuesday evening at 7 of the church. Visitation Tuesday, 10 until 5, at Kinsley Mortuary in Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Elaine Pfeiffer. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu today, hamburger, baked beans, and applesauce. Tomorrow, chicken noodle soup, ham salad sandwich, celery and carrots, mandarin oranges, and cake. KNDY News Time 7:14.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Blue Valley Technologies.
We hope you enjoy lots of merriment with family and friends,
whether in the real world or the virtual one.
We also thank you for your support during this challenging year
and the opportunity to help keep you connected.
Are you expecting Santa to put new devices under the tree?
Ask us about an internet speed upgrade.
Contact us today at bluevalley.net.
Have a safe,
connected,
and happy holiday season.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Looking at the surface map, we are seeing a quiet weather pattern across the central and upper parts of the Midwest over the next several days. It looks like we're going to see mostly sunny skies, mild temperatures, even into the 60s as we head into the middle of the week. Things will turn as we head towards the end of the week, as we'll see chances for some rain. Some areas rain and snow across the central and east central parts of the Midwest as a low pressure system moves in and cooler temperatures behind it. So across the area, becoming sunny, mid-50s, winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear, upper 20s, winds will be from the northwest at around 5 miles an hour. For tomorrow, sunny, upper 50s, winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, we'll see temperatures in the lower 30s. As we head into Wednesday, we'll have mostly sunny skies, warmer temperatures 63, and Wednesday night, mostly clear. That's a look at your forecast. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature mid-December 45, record high on this date 72, the average low 22, and the record low is 2 below zero. Sunrise this morning 7:34, sunset this evening at 5:04. Clear skies ahead of sunrise and 25 degrees in Marysville this morning. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Monday, the 7th of December. KNDY News Time 7:16. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
The defending Super Bowl champs tested at home and a gut-wrenching collapse by the Jets. Hi, everyone. I'm Derek Dennis reporting on sports. Looking to keep pace with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the coveted number one seed in the AFC, the Chiefs' offense came alive at just the right time.
Second and 10, Chiefs at the Bronco 20 on the right hash. Pressure. There is a flag thrown on the play. Late throw comes near side. Kelce at the five, angling left. Touchdown!
The call on WDAF, Patrick Mahomes' pass to Travis Kelce was the lone touchdown of the night. Chiefs safety Tyrann Mathieu collected two interceptions, including one with 33 seconds left, to seal Kansas City's 22-16 win over the Broncos. Out west, the upstart New York Giants pulled off one of the biggest upsets of the season.
Calling formation to the right, play fake. McCoy throws it right for Morris, who walks in for the touchdown.
On WFAN, the Giants stunned the Seahawks 17-12 for their fourth consecutive win. In the NFC, Aaron Rodgers continued to pad his future Hall of Fame resume.
He rushes to the right side from Lazard. Quick toss left side. Devontae's got it. He gets by Slay to the pylon for the end zone. Touchdown!
On WTMJ, with his third quarter touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, Rodgers became the seventh quarterback in NFL history to throw 400 career touchdowns. The Packers rolled to a 30-16 win over the Eagles. An ill-advised call on defense doomed the Jets' latest attempt of clinching their first win.
And they've got,
they come.
Got it off. Here comes Carr.
Steps come.
Back. Now he comes up. Going to fire again. Left side. Going for it. Ruggs. Ruggs has got it. Touchdown. Jackpot, baby.
On KRLV, in the face of an all-out blitz, Raiders quarterback Derek Carr found Henry Ruggs for a 46-yard touchdown as Las Vegas escaped with a 31-28 win. Derek Dennis, ABC Sports.
Tuesday night basketball tip-off, Marysville at Valley Heights, girls and boys games, simulcast, live on KNDY, KNDYradio.com, and on our mobile app.
Lifetime Vision Center would like to ask everyone buying gifts for children to please examine and check all safety guidelines on the packaging. Also, make sure that the toys are age-appropriate to ensure a happy time of play this holiday season. Safety first, from Lifetime Vision Center in Auburn and Nebraska City. Excellence in eye care.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. Representatives David Scott of Georgia and Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania won their respective parties' leadership elections to claim the top slots on the House Agriculture Committee. Chairman-elect Scott will be the first African-American to serve as chairman of the House Ag Committee. He said he will use the critical opportunity to represent the values of the entire caucus and advance the priorities for trade, disaster aid, climate change, sustainable agriculture, SNAP, crop insurance, small family farms, specialty crops, and rural broadband. Meanwhile, Representative Thompson said, as a lifelong resident of a small town in rural central Pennsylvania and a descendant of a long line of dairy farmers, he's humbled to be elected. He said the challenges ahead are considerable, but they'll continue to put farm families first and ensure the country has the most safe and affordable food supply chain on the planet. Well, prospects for a fourth pandemic relief package before the end of the year grew after a bicameral, bipartisan group of lawmakers unveiled a $908 billion package as the basis for compromise. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy expressed late last week that he is more optimistic that a coronavirus relief bill can get done. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the $908 billion proposal would serve as a starting point for negotiations. A spokesperson for President Trump noted that the president would support whatever Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is able to agree to. Several lawmakers have stated any coronavirus aid would likely need to ride on the year-end appropriations package. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Good Monday morning. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, with your latest agricultural news here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Outgoing House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson has laid down a legislative marker for his successor to use the popular Conservation Reserve Program to address climate pollution. Peterson wants incoming Ag Chair David Scott, the first African-American to head the panel, to harness the popularity of the Conservation Reserve Program to capture carbon pollution. Peterson told reporters his bill, H.R. 8843, was his parting shot and a marker unlikely to become law before he leaves office.
All this talk about climate change and carbon capture and so forth, I just don't think people have thought about the best program we have to deal with that. And I'm hoping today to put this on the radar screen.
Peterson's bill would add 25 million acres to the CRP.
It requires the secretary to actually have to sign up 50 million acres and give them 5 years to do it, I think, right? But, you know, under the old program, it allowed them to go up to that level. This would actually require it.
Peterson says his bill uses a successful existing program to pay farmers to store carbon. Instead of a whole new regime, others have proposed expanding the less popular Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP. But Peterson says there's not enough money to do that and asks for the new committee leaders.
I know David Scott has said to me that he's going to listen to my counsel. So I think what I'm putting forward will have an impact with him. I would assume maybe it would with GT as well. But we're going to have new leadership, and I think they're very capable leaders, and I have no doubt they're going to do a good job.
GT referring to Republican Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, who is the incoming ranking member on House Ag. Sam Speck, Mid-America Ag Network News.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. It is agriculture, of course. The USDA says farm income is up for 2020. Hope that means yours is. I will run the numbers for you after this.
Your best defense against breast cancer is a mammogram. I'm Dr. Sandy Goldberg, a breast cancer survivor and founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And early detection saved my life. Are you uninsured? Are you underinsured? Are you a survivor and need follow-up testing? Feel like you have nowhere to turn? Times are tough, but getting a mammogram shouldn't be. Call us at 312-345-1322. A Silver Lining Foundation is here to help.
The USDA ERS, the Economic Research Service is what that stands for, issued its 2020 farm income forecast, and it says net cash farm income is forecast to be the highest since 2013, reaching $134 billion. That USDA report says total crop receipts are expected to increase $6.5 billion from 2019. That's about 3.3%. Higher receipts for fruits and nuts and soybeans are expected to offset lower receipts for corn and cotton. Here's where the big money came from, though, last year. Uncle Sam. Direct government farm payments to offset the trade war and COVID are forecast at $46.5 billion by the end of this year. That's an increase of $24 billion from last year. On the animal side, not as good news. Total animal product receipts are expected to decrease $9.7 billion. That's 5.5% from last year. Declines in cattle and hogs and broilers as well. Speaking of chicken, have you picked up a McRib yet? The pork sandwich that has developed a cult following over the last several years is back in McDonald's stores as of last week, for a limited time, of course. But what is it, and where did it come from? It is described as a boneless pork sandwich served with slivered onions and pickles on top and slathered with barbecue sauce. It debuted in 1982, but according to some research done by Bryce Diskett at Rural Radio Network in Nebraska, it was created several years before that. Roger Mendigo, a University of Nebraska animal science professor, was approached by the National Pork Producers Council to create a product with pork trimmings that could be sold to McDonald's. Mendigo went to work in the lab and figured out a way to use a variation of sausage making to hold all the little pieces of meat together in whatever shapes people wanted. McDonald's chose the rectangular shape, wanting it to look like the boneless part of a back rib. And by the way, Mendigo denies he is the father of the McRib. He says he only developed the technology to make it possible for McD's to glom the pork meat together in that shape. But McRib daddy or not, his invention was important enough to earn him a spot in the Meat Industry Hall of Fame, right there next to Colonel Sanders. Back after this.
Marysville Livestock Incorporated will feature a special bred cow sale this Thursday afternoon beginning at 4:30. Featuring spring calving cows, including 25 black March and April calving cows, 68 years old, 35 black February March calving cows, 68 years old, 15 red March and April calving cows, 5 to 7 years old, 45 black February calving cows, 4 to 600 pounds, 10 black and red cow-calf pairs, 3-week-old calves, 5 black and red cow-calf pairs, 30 to 45-day-old calves, and 4 black cow-calf pairs, 30 to 45-day-old calves. This special bred cow sale starts at 4:30 Thursday, along with a regular auction beginning at 10 a.m. Cafe will be open for dinner this Thursday at Marysville Livestock Incorporated.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Media Group. I'm Steve Alexander.
Good morning from Beatrice 77 Livestock. Dennis Henricks reporting this morning on a really, really super sale here today. Folks, we are starting at 9:30. Just go ahead and proceed normal with your cows, folks. So we hope to be done with the cows there at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then we'll go into the Holsteins and that type thing. We hope to be on the beef cattle at 12:30 here today. 9:30 start at 12 o'clock noon. We'll get in the hay department. There's 50 alfalfa, 50 prairie, 50 grass. We assume we'll get more hay here this morning. In the big round alfalfa, there's 12 new seeding, third cut at 1721. Another 12 new seeding, third cut, 1663. In the round brome native mix, there's 26. They weigh 1624. On the round brome, 14 bales at 1575. Round grass, there's 19 of old crop. In the round grass department, there's 10 at 1460. And there's a total of CRP round 26. It does look pretty nice. So there's 26 of that. Also, the hay will sell at 12 o'clock noon. In the markets, closing up last week, they just kind of spread it out a little bit, a 109 to 110 on the steer and heifers, and the carcass was a 172 to 174. So, hey, that felt all right also, so let's hope that we can keep that market in that range. Well, here at 12 o'clock today, we're going to get on a great run of cattle, high-quality boys and girls. They are all vaccinated, I think, for except one group, and we'll certainly note that. At 12 o'clock noon, we're going to have about 10 to 12 of those lightweights, 200 to 300 calves, guys, that we're going to try to get pulled off the bigger bunches, along with 16 Holstein heifers breedable. They're 450 to 550. Five Holstein steers, 400 to 500 also. I got another group of Holstein Cross Hojo Holstein Jersey steers. 16 of those are coming off grass. Novak, they weigh 500. And now here we go on a nice run of beef cattle, folks. There's going to be seven black steer and heifers. They're going to be 350 to 500. Lewin Roth out of Crete. Verprosky out of Dorchester, 15 black baldy steers finished. If you need something for a locker date, certainly work at 1400. Verprosky out of Dorchester's got another 20 black and black baldy steer and heifers. They're going to weigh 1050 to 1150. Tony Schlichtemeyer out of Nehaka, 43 steer and heifers. He'll be black, 650 to 700. Watermeyer out of Burr, 60 black and black baldies, steer and heifers, 550 to 650. Chris Fossler out of Philly, 27 black and red steer and heifers, weighing 600 to 700. C Matter out of Steiner, 20 black out of Burchard, actually, 20 black steers, they're going to weigh 750. Steve Hulse at Sterling, 80 black steer and heifers, weighing 850. Naveen Farms out of Adams, 65 black Semanga steers, are going to weigh 700 to 800. Ken Hippen out of Virginia, 125 black steer and heifers, weighing 600 to 800. 120 black steer and heifers, 650 to 800. Dennis Hippen, Virginia. Zula Farms out of Plymouth, 80 black balancer steer and heifers are going to weigh 600 to 775. Jesse Hageman of Burchard, 82 black and red steer and heifers weighing 700 to 750. Egger out of Hallam, 14 black steer and heifers are going to weigh 850. Another set of 17 black and red steer and heifers of Eggert's weighing 550 to 600. Jill Schramm out of Bremen, 14 black steer and heifers, 5 to 600. 27 black whiteface, red whiteface steer and heifers, they're going to be 550 to 750. Steve Odard Okito, 53 black steer and heifers, 550 to 650. Max Henrichs out of Bruning, 85 black and red steer and heifers, 6 to 700. Matt Mines out of Pickerel, 45 black steer and heifers, 6 to 800. Steve Kanoki, Kyle Kanoki out of Virginia, 23 black steer and heifers, 550 to 700. Kuntz out of Philly, 19 black and red steer and heifers, 550 to 650. Lyle Jurgens of Pickerel, 50 black steer and heifers, 6 1/4, 700. Mark Van Winkle Steiner, he's got 12 black steer and heifers, 6 to 675. Adam Farms at Odell, 22 black baldy steers, their yearlings at 800 to 900. Lewin Roth out of Crete, 12 black steer and heifers, guys, 400 to 800. 18 black and red steer and heifers are the Hoistman cattle out of Sterling. They weigh 500 to 600. Roger Little, Plymouth, 575 to 6 1/4 on 15 head of black steer and heifers. 11 black steer and heifers. They are from Du Bois. They weigh 500 to 700 on a Anderson. Ayers out of Hallam has 14 Black Bull and Heifers. They are 5 to 600. Zebetreski out of Fairbury, 25 Black and Red Steer and Heifers at 5 to 6.5. 16 Black and Red Retzlaff cattle out of Walton. They're going to weigh 4 to 700. 23 Black Steers, No Wing, coming off the cow. They are the Wallenberg calves out of Plymouth, and they're going to weigh 5 to 600. Bestandy got a Burchard, 14 Black Bulls. They're going to weigh 450 to 600. Big Run, good cattle, folks. So we say thanks for the business. Give us a call. Tanya, Rick, or Denny at 223-3571. Folks, we're starting at 9:30. We're getting on the crossbred cattle at 12 o'clock noon, moving right up to 12:30 on the beef bred cattle and consignment list. So thanks again for the business. We want to remind you that the Roger Tegmeyer status auction is 12-19, December 19th at 11 o'clock. Roger Tegmeyer Estate, and also the next bred cow, January 7th for Tegmeyer and bred cow. You can certainly go to the auctioneers and consignment page and check it out. That's going to wrap it up here today. Again, thanks for the business. Give us a call, 223-3571. And keep in mind, you can certainly go online for the markets, the consignments, the auctioneers page, or bid live and turn on the video at Beatrice77.net.
7:34 from KNDY, 25 degrees, a little warmer today, highs in the middle 50s on tap.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. Good Monday. The Kansas City Chiefs going back to the playoffs. They topped the Broncos 22-16 in a game that was much closer than expected to make it 11 straight wins over the division rival and clinch a playoff spot in the AFC for the sixth straight year. Travis Kelce had 8 receptions for 136 yards and the go-ahead TD grab late in the third quarter. The Chiefs clinched a playoff berth by improving to 11-1 for the first time in franchise history. Football to hoops. UNLV used a strong start to the second half to break open a tight game as the Runnin' Rebels avenged their 2019 home loss to Kansas State with a 68-58 win on Saturday night in front of a limited capacity crowd of 910 fans at Bramlage Coliseum. Jayhawk men's basketball squad in action Saturday as well, defeating the North Dakota State Bison by a margin of 65-61. I'm Rick Averett with a look at your Monday Kansas sports on the Mid-America Network.
Friday night basketball action. In girls' play, Sabetha took Marysville 45-28. Valley Heights defeated Riley County 48-40. Frankfort took Pawnee City 54-18. Waubunsee girls downed Axtell 53-14. Washington County over Clifton Clyde 53-14.